Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. And we were joined by a star of children's TV who also likes his football.
He doesn't, a big Villa fan from Waffle the Wonder Dog, Paul. Yeah. You hadn't seen it.
I hadn't.
We filled you in.
You knew all
it.
The words to the theme tune.
I could do the lot. I'd written him off by the end of it, but obviously we'll hear that.
Yeah, that's right. Not the guest, the dog.
Yeah. I was just trying to make it a longer show, you know,
yeah.
On the nose.
On the wet nose. also, we were joined by a style editor of a newspaper who talked us through the sartorial battle between Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder.
And he made a choice on the back of it, didn't
he? He did. So, yeah, he gave us a prediction.
Very similar to Conor Benn's, which isn't in this.
No, that's right. So, and that we had a chat about various things, including Chinese restaurants. and here it all is.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Charlie. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Paul. How was your evening?
It started well with a rather fine plate of Turkish cuisine.
Oh, lovely. What did you have?
A couple of local beverages. I went for the shish.
Oh, did you?
I went for the lamb shish with the mix of rice and couscous.
Very nice.
I was quite bold, which they kind of mix into a ball collectively, and it's a kind of multicoloured affair. The salads are free. The dips, it's all beautifully done. Oh. Little Efes, very nice. It got right in the mood.
Ever gone the old pipe thing there?
I'm not going to do that pre-match on the hookah.
The old hookah pipe?
No, I'm not. I mean, I'm not.
I'm
not on holiday in Istanbul just having something to eat before a football match.
Well, look,
but anyway,
try and relax.
And then it's fair to say that it was downhill from that point. It was a very passive watch. I mean, the way Tottenham played, I know that Tottenham had injuries, but I do kind of sense that it's a philosophy, really. And even if he'd had, he'd managed to get Erling Haaland up front on loan, we probably still would have played in the same way. They're very impressive, Red Bull. They're a good team. And I think we did, as Glenn Hoddle was saying on BT, I've watched a clip of Nerdcast earlier on, there seemed to be a kind of lack of... I don't know, what's the word? We didn't look quite the team that they were, really, in terms of the way we played. And I know it was a bit mix and match. There were some odd things as well on the bench. Oliver Skip, who's a young midfield player. Yeah. There was quite a lot of players on that bench who could do the job.
Skip for hire,
that's right. Yeah, the thing is that if you do want to hire him, he says he'll be there at 7 o'clock because he doesn't want to wake the neighbours up. Quarter past five, he turns up in the morning, starts clanging about.
Clang, prong, prong.
Starts clanging about.
Everyone starts chucking their stuff in.
You know, he definitely should have put Troy Parrott on the bench, even for 10 minutes. The guy's a striker. He may be 18 and not good enough in his
Give
eyes.
Give him minutes, Paul. As they say,
I think he is a bona fide striker, and it did seem odd that Ryan Sessegnon wasn't on the bench, someone with a bit of attacking prowess, because there was going to come a point in the game when Spurs were going to attack, partly because Leipzig let us, because they dropped, it was a much lower block because they were holding on to what they had, so they weren't pressing quite as high up the pitch, which meant we had a bit more time on the ball, and we did create a bit more.
You had a couple of good shots. Their keeper made a couple of good one excellent save where he tipped it onto the post from free kick.
Yeah, Lo Celso's been the highlight of the season, really, as he's come on. He's looked excellent.
But he's played well.
Yeah, oh, he did.
Lloris played well.
Kept them in the game.
And for them, Ampadu looked fantastic. Why he's on loan? I mean, no, you know, surely he's the player that Chelsea need.
They had no first-choice centre-halves, and they mixed and matched with full-backs. So they'd have, you know, that may have been an excuse to go at them a little bit more rather than it be Rourke's drift from the first minute. I mean, they had three chances in 90 seconds.
Yeah.
And you're trying to create a good atmosphere in a ground, but when your team is set up to be that passive and you're under the cosh most of the time, it's tense. It's quite tense to watch it. You try and get behind the lads, as they say, but you're on tenterhooks all the time. I mean, as I said, they got ahead of steam up, and you do wonder why maybe they couldn't have started playing like that a little bit earlier on, considering the problems they had in defence. But that is Jose.
That's his
Jose
way, isn't it? But that's his way, isn't it? That's what he does. That's what he tries to manage the game rather than, doesn't he?
But,
rather than going at the game, he tries to manage the game, I always think.
Well, I mean, that works if you don't concede, and we'll see. Look, he may go to Leipzig in 3 weeks' time and win the tie, and then we'll all say job done. That's what's brilliant about the guy. He gets the job done over two legs. But my gut feeling is, I mean, watch Leipzig last night, and the fact that we can't really change anything before the next game, that's unlikely to happen. It's going to be pretty tough.
And you won't. I mean, the team's the team now, isn't it? You won't suddenly have a striker by then, will you?
I mean, often you'll go to a game, you think, if we just get through this first leg in 3 weeks' time, we'll have Son back, we'll have Kane back.
But they're not going to be, are they?
But they're not going to be back. So I might have played Bergwijn through the middle a bit earlier rather than Moore, who looked like a bit of a fish out of water, but you know, what do I know?
Is Dele all right, Paul? Is Dele Alli all right? Is he happy, do you think? Do you think he's looking for itchy feet?
I thought it was the performance, the disappointment of the way the things had gone in the game. But again, as I said earlier on, I wouldn't have taken him off. I would have maybe played him a little bit deeper. He could have pulled the strings. I would have still brought Lamella on, but I maybe would have made a change elsewhere. But yeah, you know, what are you going to do?
I don't know. How long's left on Dele Alli's contract, Paul?
I don't know. That's a very good question.
I'm not trying to sell him for you.
No, I don't think lobbing down a drinks bottle is a sign that he's going to be, you know, off. I think he was frustrated with the performance, and he didn't play great, but I think where he was asked to play, maybe he didn't see a lot of the ball.
He looks low on energy or something when he's playing. He used to look so buzzy, you know, and so high and driven. When he's playing now, it just feels a little bit lethargic. A little bit anemic.
I mean, he's had some good games recently. He's not quite been at it, the player he was a couple of seasons ago.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Oh, waffle. Oh, waffle, leaping around like a frog. I just want to say one thing. You're such a clever dog. So many nights we're awake when you're woofing. We still love you, everybody.
Waffle doggy. Waffle doggy.
Let's see those arms. Obviously,
come on,
not
now.
If you're driving.
Everybody.
And
for the kids.
It's half term, isn't it? So
they'll be off.
The kids will be going, Mum, it's Waffle. It's Waffles on the radio. Yeah. Well, it's... look, my kids are older, so they're not... Hopefully they're not watching.
Paul.
With respect, hopefully they're not still watching Waffle, the one, the dog. But yours...
Yes,
your youngest,
she absolutely loves it.
It's a massive show, really good.
Yeah,
and Russ Hargreaves has just gone up to our next guest, who plays Simon, effectively Waffle's dad. I prefer that to co-owner.
Do you?
Waffle's dad in the series, and has said thank you for all those hours that you've given me free time, where I've just sat the kids in front of
and
a
we
DVD.
We rang the shame bell, didn't we, Paul?
Yeah. Shame on
terrible
you,
terrible parenting,
Russ. But James Merry plays Simon. Good afternoon, James. Good to see you.
Hi Paul, if
you go and do your weekly shop, all the mums and dads are going to recognise you. All the little kids are recognising you. You've got a very specific audience, haven't you? Really?
Yeah, it can get a little bit strange sometimes, because sometimes the kids will recognise you, but the parents won't.
Oh right, oh, okay.
And so you'll get a stare from a kid, and you'll just give a little smile, you know, maybe they might come up to you, and the parents are like, "Who are you?"
It's a bit concerned.
Because you're like, it's okay.
Yeah, because when they play these shows, you know, it's on a loop, isn't it? It's on a loop, sort of four times a day, three times a day. You on CBeebies?
I think at the moment it's two.
Yeah, two times a day. So you know, if kids see you, they like seeing the same episode over and over again if they can. Can't they?
Obviously, which isn't great for the parents.
Hey, look, listen. If it gets me 20 minutes off.
When my kids were young, there were episodes of Tots TV and the Sooty Show. I could have read it back. I could have done a recital for it. So you do. They get you can't, you know, they're there, aren't they, really? They get in your head.
Now, it's the story of a talking dog, of course. Not, yeah. I mean, not the first ever talking dog. I'm trying to think of other talking dogs now, Paul. Any talking dogs?
Put me on the spot. No,
Snoopy didn't talk, did he?
When I auditioned for it, I thought of an old show that used Woof, a boy who turned into a dog.
Very
do you remember that?
Yeah, that was a boy who turned into one, though, wasn't it?
So, yeah, he did talk. Yeah.
Well, you've been a bit pedantic, I think.
Yeah, so it's sorry to break it to people if they are listening. It's Rufus Hound does the.
Rufus Hound voices Waffle.
Do you think he got the job? Do you think that's nominative determinism? Do you think he got the job? Because who should we have?
A lot of people
Rufus
say that.
Hound. There we are. That'll do.
Definitely appropriate.
Yeah, do it for about 10 gravy bones. That's what the agent came back with.
Fantastic.
Is it a fun part? I'm sure it is.
Yeah, it's great fun. I mean, they always say don't work with kids and animals, especially in this business. But no, it was absolutely brilliant. You know, the chaperones look after the kids.
Yeah.
And the company that look after the dogs are absolutely brilliant.
Is it hard working with Waffle? Because obviously, I take they do the talking in post, don't they? I mean, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's done.
Strenuous auditions.
You're having to work. You're getting nothing back from Waffle. Well, you're having a conversation with him, are you?
Yeah, so I've only met Rufus twice. Yeah. Because he's always in post. But in terms of the actual physical moving of the mouth,
then
we're there for that.
Oh, nice.
And the dog handlers are doing that. They're giving treats and trying to get the mouth to move, or maybe a little bit of what did they have? Dog friendly toffee.
Oh, is that nice. Right?
Dog friendly toffee.
Now it's difficult, I think, to perform to kids. Very, very difficult because they sniff you out pretty quickly, don't they? If they don't feel like you're telling the truth or they don't believe you, they see through it pretty quick. So have you got experience with working with kids in that way at all?
I've done some education work.
Yeah.
I did quite a bit of education work, whether it be drama workshops or careers and employability workshops.
Yeah.
But it was the first kids' TV I'd done since I was a kid. I did a little bit of kids' TV.
And what were you in when you were a kid?
I had three lines in The Demon Headmaster.
Okay.
The original Demon Headmaster.
Spooky ball. Did you ever see that? Demon Headmaster?
No, but it was probably after
it was Arsene Wenger, wasn't it? It was Arsene Wenger, more or less.
Okay. Arsene Wenger was the
first Yeah, you look it up. It's more or less Arsene Wenger. Oh, early years, when he had those big sort of bottle frame glasses.
Well, I'll go and look him up.
They brought it back, though.
Have they?
Demon Headmaster is back.
Talking dog. I can't believe it's been the cornerstone of this show for so many years. Prince, the talking dog from That's Life, says Winnie.
Of course. Sausages.
Of course, yeah.
Of course.
Of course, he was the original. He was the original. It really spoke, that dog. Didn't need dog-friendly toffee either. Actually had a chat with you.
It's lovely, isn't it? It's and so when the kids come up to you now, do they sing the song at you, or does it get annoying?
Yeah,
usually because the song is stuck in my head completely.
Yeah,
you know.
Will you give us a few bars, Charlie? Give us a chorus.
Oh, awful,
leaping around.
Got the real guy here. Why do you need me, Paul?
Oh, I don't know.
Just want to say one thing. You're such a clever dog.
It swings, doesn't it? This is like the rat pack.
Or something.
Not the dog pack.
Good evening, everybody. Yeah. I'm Jack Russell.
That would be great. A kind of rat pack style gig, but just singing children's TV themes.
That'd be lovely.
Yeah, that sounds like a winner. You're coming on with your kind of glass of whiskey, playing the den, then singing. That wouldn't be right, would it? Kids wouldn't like that.
Let's do dark. D'Artagnan.
Yeah. Stop the pigeon. Hey, that'd be great, wouldn't it? That'd be a winner. Big band.
It'd
be fantastic.
It'd be lovely,
we'll
wouldn't it?
We'll get the O2. We'll get the Indigo to start.
Lovely.
And if the Indigo goes well, we'll get the big room.
Why not? We'll go with the whole thing.
You're in. James.
Yeah, James.
Do you remember D'Artagnan?
D'Artagnan was. Musker hounds up. Dogs again.
Dogs.
Always ready. Yeah. One for Rolando, for one. That was it.
Yeah. Bringing it all back. Yeah. Great. This half term, isn't it? You are a big Villa fan, James, is that right?
I am a Brummy boy, born and bred.
Yeah. What? Why Villa? Was it sort of family, or what made you make that choice?
Yeah, my mum's side of the family, really. My dad's a Cov boy.
He's
from Cov. But yeah, my mum, my great aunt was a season ticket holder for 50 years, something like that, until she died. And I also worked there. I worked in the catering department as a teenager.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, on the ground catering, doing the burgers and the hot dogs.
In the kind of hospitality bit, or the kind of regular bit?
In the concourse.
On the concourse.
Yeah, for the regular punters. Yeah, it was good fun. I was 6-7 years.
Did you bump into Gabby and Bonlahor?
He wouldn't have been coming down before kickoff for a pie, would he? In the whole
he was in the building.
Oh, well, he was in the building.
midfield.
I got myself here, I have to admit.
Oh, well done.
Well done.
What was that era you first started going then, James? What sort of team did you have then?
I can remember my first game was early 90s. So that would have been, it was just after the Platt era.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So just after Platt.
A good side then, Villa, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah, you're coming into Saunders, Atkinson, and the 94 League Cup winning team, Richardson.
Earl Barrett.
Oh, Earl Barrett, yes. From Oldham. Yeah, of course.
It's a nice sort of nice.
And now, how are you feeling about life now as a Villa fan? You're going to get out? You're going to be all right?
It's been a tough 10 years. It's been a decade, pretty much, since Martin O'Neill left. But this season, they say, oh, we're ahead of schedule coming up. And, you know, the plan wasn't to get promoted via the playoffs last year, but great that we did.
Yeah.
And I haven't feared for us at times this season because we've played some really good stuff.
Mm.
But now you look at the maths, and I was looking at the fixtures for West Ham, Watford, and everyone's got a tough run in. The team that stays up is going to have to beat some big boys.
Yeah, they are. And well, looking at West Ham's next six, seven games there, I mean, it's pretty similar for Villa, isn't it?
But do you think if you don't go down, or even if you do go, do you think Jack Grealish will be there next season? In what circumstances?
This is Paul trying to get Jack Grealish.
No,
for Spurs.
I think that ship is sailed. if we could pick him up for Fortnum's, which we almost did 10 minutes too late, of course. But the chairman's not spending £80 million. That's not happening. So I think that ship has sailed. But do you think he'll stay?
I think if we stay up, he'll stay. If we go down, then I don't think there'll be many Villa fans all begrudging moving on.
No, fair enough.
He's done what he's done for us. He's a hometown boy, and it'd be maybe nice if he came and finished with us.
Yeah, well, he can do a Messi comeback when he's about 35.
Yeah.
Be playing, when you're in League One.
Playing by memory. He'd still have all the touches.
That's right.
That little burst of pace would have gone to get away from players, wouldn't it?
Still got his socks around his ankles.
Yeah, that's it. That's really too, because he got very sweaty shins these days. I've got to put cream on it. I've got very sweaty shins.
Just keep them down there.
So, Waffle continue. You're doing new ones at the moment, James?
There's some more coming out this year, yeah. Yeah. And then I'm not sure whether there's going to be any more after that, and it's back to life as a job in actor.
Oh, really? I mean, it's very popular, though. I mean, why would they stop?
Well, because they've got so many on a loop that they can just keep playing them, and the kids get older, they grow out of it, and then the new kids come in, they don't need to see new episodes.
I'm talking about a job.
So I'm just trying to tell you. You asked the question.
Like a commissioning editor for kids' TV.
You've hit the nail on the head, because CBeebies is such a short, I think the official is 2 to 7-year-olds.
Yeah.
And, you know, a new generation is coming through all the time.
Sorry, Paul, you asked the question.
I know I did.
Didn't want to answer it with James in the room, but
that was quite brutal, that,
I'm aware of the reality.
I know, and I'm sure you are, James.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
It's all going very well for Stormzy, of course, at the moment. You know, successful albums, Glastonbury, and, of course, Brit Awards.
How does it get better, Paul?
Well, it gets better when Greggs give you the first ever black card.
They give you Greggs today. Have honoured him with the first ever Greggs Black Card.
What does that mean? Free Greggs for life? Is, for life? Does odd, it run it? Out? I mean, has it got a?
I mean, I don't
end date.
I don't begrudge Stormzy anything, but. He could afford a vegan sausage roll if he wanted one, couldn't he? I mean, the idea of Greg's possibly doing this with a kind of Willy Wonka-style golden ticket. Oh, I mean, yeah. or just, well, I don't know, maybe targeting people that are living, I was going to say on the breadline, but I didn't mean that. do you know...
You think Stormzy can afford his own steak bake?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think he'd be the first to admit that, wouldn't he, really?
But I think it's so he can get steak bakes for all his crew, yum-yums for everyone, all his pals. He can send whatever he wants, wherever he is in the world, Greggs can get it there too.
They've got a concierge service.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
What point in your life you think you're sitting there and you think, I'm just going to take advantage of this. I fancy a steak bake now and I want it delivered in the next... I don't know.
As you know, Paul.
It's no good to me. The cornerstone of some huge businesses now, so what do I know?
Gluten-free, Paul. Gluten-free. So no good to me, any of Greggs.
Really?
And until the day they do a Greggs gluten-free pasty.
They could give you a card.
Give me a card and I'll give it back.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a shame. A second bag of snakes has been found outside a fire station, Paul. I don't know if you saw
it's
this.
It's in Sunderland, isn't it? Our old mate Andy Dawson is denying it's anything to do with him from Atletico Mints. I saw him say... Yeah. I saw him on Twitter.
Really?
It's a very odd story, this, isn't it?
Yeah, the snakes have been left inside a bin.
And they've
since found another bag of snakes.
Are they venomous?
They're corn snakes. I don't know if they.
I guess not.
Just outside a fire station.
Not great if you're on the old bin man round there, is it?
More Devon news. I know we're going for Devon.
I didn't intend in the last 10 minutes to put into Google corn snakes venomous, but I'm doing it now.
Why
because
not?
I'm just interested to know.
We're all interested to know. Are they venomous?
They're non-venomous.
Non-venomous.
They are constrictors, though. So if you put your hand in a bin to, you know, you're down there, you're Stormzy, because obviously you're...
Yeah. Yeah, putting your Greggs wrapper away.
Yeah, putting your Greggs... And it latches on.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be great, would it,
really? Wouldn't be great at all.
Yeah, corn snake will strike and bite their prey in order to obtain a firm grip. Then it will quickly wrap one or more of its coils around your body and then drag you into the bin. Imagine all those snakes just being... See a little pair of feet. If you see a pair of feet in a bin somewhere in Sunderland...
Someone's in there.
Corn snakes in there.
Corn on the cob snakes would be nice, wouldn't it? Just like...
What is it? That doesn't even mean anything.
Of course it does. I don't know.
What
brings people to own snakes? I don't know what you get out of it. I mean, like, if you have a dog, you know, you get like a bit of affection back, don't you? And regular exercise. Do people walk their snakes? What do you get out of it?
I don't know, Charlie. I've really not given it a lot of thought. I wasn't planning to go.
You don't
down,
fancy it.
I've never been drawn to sort of reptiles as pets. I've got to be honest, no.
Now we're trying to pitch Devon as the home of the 2020 Olympics.
Yeah,
which we've established. We've got quite a lot of places for that. They're going to need a pub, aren't they?
Oh yeah, the cornerstone of any Olympics, a pub, isn't it?
Britain's grumpiest pub landlord. The darts in the Olympics, yeah, they've tried, didn't they? They did try.
They've talked about it as an exhibition sport, but
Britain's grumpiest pub landlord makes customers pull their own pints. He's got no Wi-Fi.
That sounds high risk, doesn't it?
his cat's called Hitler. So Steve Cotton, 59.
Does the cat look like Hitler? Because there are cats that do, aren't there?
Yeah, I don't think he's one of those.
Okay.
He runs the Poltimore Arms in Exmoor, Devon.
And he models
himself on Dick Turpin, the highwayman.
Have you not popped in? Is this a part of the
Exmoor? Is a bit remote, isn't it?
Is it? There's no gigs remote, there for you?
There might be. I don't know if he does a gig.
Has he got a comedy club?
I don't think you'd get paid at all, no.
He could put on a comedy night, couldn't he? This fella in his pub.
Look at that. Can you imagine turning up? I'm the gaffer.
Yeah.
There he is. He's got a Dick Turpin and a gun.
He looks a bit like Bill Maynard in Heartbeat, doesn't he? Where the part he played, really, from Grumpy Central Casting.
We've had the richest people in the world here during the shooting season.
Yeah.
And I treat them all with the same disdain and disapproval. Just like that'd be great for the Olympics.
They are a draw, aren't they? It's, you know, people that like that. There's a very famous Chinese restaurant in Chinatown in London.
Oh yeah.
Where a part of the appeal of it is just how rude they are to you. I mean, I'm not gonna. You'll know it. It's on several floors.
Yeah.
It's a restaurant. Do you know it, Charlie?
I know where it is. Yeah. Yeah.
And you sometimes have it with a table leg. Basically, you put a bit of card under it. Anyway, it might give you. But anyway, but their rudeness. And one of the great joys was because the food is very good and it's very cheap. So I used to go there when I was sort of working in magazines years ago. We'd be working late. We'd go there and get something to eat. And tourists or just people would be sitting there, and they have this thing where you say a table for two, please, and there might be four people that you don't know on a table. And if the waiter has decided he doesn't really want just another table to two, he doesn't want to be dragging food round to that table for two, he'll say, sit there. And the first time you ever go, you say, no, mate, I don't want to sit there. I want a table for two or whatever. Yeah. Or even if there's a table for eight and there's four people on it, there's four of you, you'll say, sit there with the other four people.
That's how they've invented Wagamamas. That happens at Wagamamas. You all sit together, don't you?
Yeah, but these are long tables. This is basically lots of different tables. But it'll say, sit there, and then the first time you say no, and they say, well, if you don't sit there, you won't get served. So, oh, we'll see about that.
As rude as possible.
But 20 minutes later, when you haven't been served, and the times we'd said to tourists or people, we'd say to people, they'd say, in fact, we are going to sit there at this table for two, and we will get served, otherwise there'll be trouble. And they'd sit there for 20 minutes, no one would come near them, even for a drink, and we'd say, mate, you're not going to get served.
This isn't going to happen.
That's the way it works. But people love it. They're drawn to the place.
It's like Paris. Get the same service in Paris.
Yeah, city doing that kind of thing. That's very
Powys
true.
In Wales has been on, Paul, about the snakes.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's a sequel to Snakes on a Plane. Snakes in a Bin.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, yes, I was just calling Chris Wilder then.
Go on,
that would be a fight and a half, wouldn't it?
Chris Wilder
versus Tyson Fury. That is a catch weight. Although, I imagine Chris, when riled...
Give it a go, wouldn't he?
When riled, I wouldn't
he
want
would
to
give that
wouldn't
a
want
go.
Any
that
trouble.
That would be lovely, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But now, of course, it is Deontay Wilder taking on Tyson Fury on TalkSport in the early hours of Sunday morning. And Stephen Doig, the men's style editor of The Telegraph, has looked at the two men's kind of sartorial stylings, and maybe can give us some sort of indication who's likely to win the fight. We've come to the point where we're looking at the way they dress as some kind of indicator for who's going to win a boxing match.
Well, you never know.
But Stephen, good afternoon.
Hi there.
Of course, that wasn't the point. It was just to look at the way they do dress, because they've got very different styles, I think it's fair to say, isn't it? But both of them quite flamboyant.
Yeah, I mean, I would say they're both very flamboyant, very ostentatious. You can see that Tyson Fury really loves his suits, and he's talked about going to the same tailor to make his really eye-catching suits. So he wore one at the recent press conference with his face on it. Mm. And then Deontay Wilder's very over the top. He's worn furs, chains, very glitzy Christian Louboutin trainers that go for around 800 to 1,000 pounds.
Wow!
So they're both pretty. they're both trying to show that how wild they are in terms of their style and their showmanship. And I think a lot of it is posturing.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the big knuckle duster rings, isn't he, Wilder? As you said, the big faux fur collar on his massive, not really a collar, it's virtually the whole coat, isn't it?
So never seen
Harry Hill like collar. but yeah, as you said, very, very sort of different. I mean, do you have a preference of the two? If you had to go out tonight, Stephen, dressed as either Tyson or Deontay, which way would you be headed?
I mean, I'm not sure I could carry off one of Tyson Fury's suits with his face all over it. I think possibly Deontay is a little bit more on trend, if we're going to look at catwalk fashions and all that. He's a little bit more cool, I'd say.
Mm.
And Tyson Fury obviously just loves dressing up and having a bit of fun.
If one wanted to get a suit with their face all over it, what would happen? Would you walk into your tailor and say, I want a suit with my face all over it? Then they'd
apparently
have to take the picture and then get it printed up? Is that how it works?
He sees a tailor in London called Nav Salimian, who makes him his suit. So apparently he goes to his tailor and says, I want my face all over it, or I want pictures of me holding up my medals, which he's done previously. And gets it run up. So, it's obviously clearly showing how powerful he is and showing that he's won medals before through his clothes. Mm.
It's quite animalistic, isn't it? It's quite, if you in the animal kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a peacock would show their plumes if they're trying to fight someone or fornicate with something. So it's the same with boxers, I think, isn't it?
They're Desmond Morris.
No, it's
Trump.
It's very true, though, isn't it, Paul?
You know, taking it onto a different level.
It's just how it works. You know, they're trying to show them how powerful they are and how attractive they are and how strong they are.
Okay.
Yeah, it is. It's very primal, I think. It's almost like something from a David Attenborough documentary. You know, you've got these guys flashing their tail feathers in the brightest, you know, almost peacocky colors, trying to face off their opponents. So it is quite, there's something quite primal about that, I think.
Yeah. What about the shoes? I mean, looking at Tyson's, they've got a kind of loafers, a sort of golden black, quite ornate sort of slip-on shoes he wears with the suit. What about that combo?
They're quite something. They're black patent evening slippers covering gold embroidery, which is kind of, I think they're probably from Christian Louboutin, so they're actually wearing the same brand,
right?
I think. But clear, and if you look at Dante Wilder's shoes as well, they're crazy bling, covered in crystals, covered in spikes. So they're kind of showing off of their shoes as well.
Yeah, the distressed tracksuit bottoms that Fury was wearing, they look like they're made of paper mache, don't they? They've got that kind of apple. That's an interesting. There could be Kanye West's, you think, possibly, or similar to his label.
I
don't mean he's borrowed them from Kanye West. I mean in his label. Yeah,
he might have borrowed them.
Yeah, he could have done.
A little bit. They look a little bit like the Yeezy label that Kanye West wears.
Oh yeah.
But I think also because he's wearing that with a big fur collar coat and then these flashy trainers, it's clear that they're just throwing everything into the mix and having a bit of fun with it, and it's actually quite fun to see.
Mm. I think a lot of the time boxers, especially when it gets towards the fight, they want to cover themselves up quite a lot, and so you can't see how fit or unfit or how much they've bulked up or how much that, you know, you don't want to give yourself a tall away to your opponent about how fit you are or in the case
shoulder
of Andre,
pads. Maybe Tyson should have put shoulder pads.
Andre Ruiz Jr., how much Greggs you've been eating, you know.
Yeah, so. Yeah, that was quite hard to cover up without a corset, really, at the end, wasn't it, in that last
towelling
fight?
Robe.
That's very true. They both look in pretty good shape. Quite a short jacket on Tyson's suit. He obviously, these are all bespoke, obviously. You don't buy that off the peg with his face on it. So, but he's going for a quite short jacket in that style. I don't know, maybe it's me. Maybe that's the look everybody's going for.
I'd say it's quite the whole suit. Altogether, the trousers and jacket, they're actually quite slim fitting. They're all quite cut quite narrowly on his body, and I wonder if that's a way to show how powerful he is, because he's showing off his physique, you know. If you get a jacket tailored and nipped in the waist, then it makes your shoulders look bigger, etc. So I wonder if there's some element of that in how he's tailored the jacket.
I can only see him wearing it once.
Based on this, Stephen, you've looked at two men's style. Who's going to win the fight?
Oh, yeah, well done. Very good.
I think the one that is winning in the style stakes is probably Deontay Wilder.
Okay. Well.
The one that's showing off the most and showing he's more powerful and he's bigger and louder is definitely Tyson Fury.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
So that was this afternoon's show. I'm going to go and watch Waffle the Wonder Dog. But how long are they?
They're about 15 minutes.
Not the Scorsese one. It's about 4.5 hours.
Yeah.
The one he directed.
Yeah, when Waffle's in it, when he's at about, 12-year-old dog.
That's right.
And they just made him look like a puppy.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And they're throwing the ball for him. And he said, "You find that funny? You find me humorous? You think that's funny? What do you mean I'm funny? Yeah. Funny, ha ha."
Up against the Boston Terrier.
That's it, yeah. You get the idea with that. We'll see you tomorrow from one live from the George Pub in Twickenham, ahead of the Six Nations, the boxing, the football. The
dreams come true, Paul.
Is that you've always fancied doing a show from a pub from Twickenham. Well, it's great to make your dreams come true,
thank
Charlie.
You so much, Paul.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.